Hello, and welcome to another episode of Artbeat, a show by the National Gallery, where we discuss the latest developments in Cayman's art scene, featuring in-depth interviews with local creatives and community partners.
I'm Maya Mutu, Education Manager.
I'm Jessica Ebanks, Community Engagement Coordinator. October is Older Persons Month in Cayman, and to mark this occasion, today's show will be a conversation about seniors' well-being, the National Gallery's own seniors program, and the wider Older Persons Month calendar as a whole. So joining us in studio today is Cassandra Farron, Social Work Manager from the Department of Children and Family Services, who are responsible for organizing the amazing calendar of events for Older Persons Month each year. And we've also got Marco Calea, Partner of Financial Services at EY, longtime sponsors of the National Gallery's EY Senior Program. Thank you both for joining us on the show. So Cassandra, we'll start with you. Can you tell us a little bit more information about Older Persons Month in Cayman? So what is Older Persons Month and why do we celebrate it?
Well, thank you very much to the National Gallery for inviting DCFS to be a part of your show. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Older Persons Month. Older Persons Month has been celebrated in the Cayman Islands since 1995, and it came about from the United Nations International Day of Older Persons, which is October 1st of every year. And the Department of Children and Family Services decided to not just have a celebration of one day, but to have the entire month of October dedicated to recognizing and celebrating with older persons in the Cayman Islands. So that's where that came about from, since 1995. So this year would mark 27 years of Older Persons Month in the Cayman Islands. And our aims for the month are to recognize older persons still as vital members of the community and the contributions that they make to the Cayman Islands. Also to bring an awareness of the social issues and the needs that affect older persons still in the country. And just have a time to be able to celebrate with older persons through the activities that we plan for them. And I would just add that it's not just DCFS that plans activities, because it's 27 years now. We know that there are other private organizations as well that still do activities for Older Persons Month, which is not necessarily on the DCFS Older Persons Month calendar, but there are celebrations throughout all three islands dedicated to older persons this month.
That's great. Thank you. And I think it's amazing that, you know, we have this entire month dedicated to older persons in Cayman, because when I was looking it up, I just looked up Older Persons Month thinking that this was, you know, an internationally recognized celebration in October, but it's not. It's really kind of unique to Cayman that we have this month-long, you know, annual event that everyone knows happens in October each year, and I think it's really wonderful that we do dedicate such a rich, you know, program and schedule for the month. And like you said, you know, maybe it started with your department spearheading this, but it's grown over these 27 years, and now there are so many other businesses and organizations that come together and celebrate it as well.
Yes, and I think it also has carried over, and that's been one of our messages throughout the years, that, you know, we not just do these things during October for older persons, but throughout the year we should continue to recognize our older persons and see them as vital members of the community, and also that we should continually try to address the social issues and the needs of older persons in our country.
Absolutely, yeah. And you... Every Older Persons Month each year has a different theme. So what is the theme for this year?
Well, the theme this year is moving towards age-friendly communities. And that theme then encompasses enabling persons of all ages to actively participate in community activities. So we see that not just because they're seniors, age 65 years and older, or perhaps they're not physically well, that they still can't participate in community. So it's really about trying to move away from that attitude of ageism, mm-hmm. And thinking that older persons, because they've reached a certain age, they no longer have value to the community. An age-friendly community also treats everybody with respect, regardless of their age. And it makes it easy for older persons to stay connected to things and people that are important to them, and provides accommodations for helping older persons to live independent lives as long as they're able to, but also providing the support to persons who now are dependent on particular social services or dependent on perhaps their family for, you know, their daily care. So it's about providing accommodations for older persons to still continue living how they want to live and keeping them connected still to the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so important. We were talking a little bit before we started recording just about, of course, the impacts that COVID has had on our society over the last couple years and making us all realize that these social connections and, you know, helping each other out and coming together as a community is so vital for all of our well-being as a society as a whole, you know, that we all need to work interdependently and collaborate with each other to ensure that we thrive as a society, you know. So I think that's a really, really important and interesting angle for the program to take this year. So what are some of the activities planned around this theme?
So we have partnered with a couple different organizations to present various activities in all three Cayman Islands and all of the districts. So the calendar this year has 36 varying events, and we like to frame all of the activities in five different areas. So they're all a holistic approach under the various areas of education, physical activities, cultural activities, spiritual activities, and recreational activities. And we always start off with a opening church service. And so we marked that on International Day of Older Persons, which was 1st of October. And on that day, we actually presented the Older Persons Month ambassadors with their awards. And I'll tell you a little bit what the ambassadors do, and who they are. We have 12 different activities in Cayman Brac and Little Cayman. So, even though people think, oh, Little Cayman is small and who lives there, but there are a group of seniors there as well. So we always want to make sure that, you know, we reach all the older persons that want to engage with us during Older Persons Month. We partnered with the public library to present how to use smartphone trainings. This is something that we want to be able to present to older persons. We did it last year, and we see that there sometimes is that technology gap for seniors, and a lot of things now are being done via technology. So we want to make sure that, you know, our older persons can be kept up to date. Anybody who feels that they have that need, because we realize that a lot of seniors still are very technology savvy, but there are some who want to be able now to use their smartphones and use their tablets and computers to stay connected and, you know, to do their banking and other things. So we offered that through the public library, and that is being held every Tuesday from 10 until 12. There are two for the Eastern Districts and two for for West Bay and Georgetown. And one of the things that we try to do as well is we try to bring activities to persons. So not everything is in a central location, perhaps Georgetown, but we try to do things in the districts as well. As well as we partner with the Ministry of Youth, Sports, Culture and Heritage, and they are bringing some activities from the various departments under that ministry. So with the Botanic Park, there's garden tours happening. There is tea parties at the Nurse Joseph Senior Center. And the sports department is doing a sports day. And the youth department is doing what they call an intergenerational game show. It's like a Jeopardy. As well as something very new this year that we are extremely eager to present is caregiver presentations. So this is a particular area. I said we try to tackle some of the social issues or social needs that we see. And so we're working with persons in a community, you know, from a social work perspective. We've seen that there are family members or persons who are not really qualified caregivers that are having to care for older persons, and there are some gaps in services. So we thought it would be fitting to present basic caregiver training. And we're partnered with Health City, the geriatric specialist there, who is going to be doing some presentations. We have three of them One for Georgetown West Bay, which is going to be held at the Jasmine, which is a hospice care venue, and one in the Bodentown district, and one in the Eastern districts for Northside and East End. And so this, again, I said is something that kind of is very dear to us because we see that there is a particular need to help families and help older persons by giving them the correct information how to help care for older persons so that people can live, continue to age at home and not have so much of a pull on the welfare system. Might be residential homes or government welfare assistance. So whenever we see the need, we try to address it. So those are a couple of the main activities. The Cayman BRAC, Older Persons Month Planning Committee as well, is doing several public education sessions because that's a part of Older Persons Month as well, not just planning activities for older persons, but we have to educate adults, children about aging, about the aging process. So Cayman BRAC has several presentations, public education, talking about elder abuse awareness, advanced care planning, and also caregiving as well. So those are a couple of our activities for the month. But I said I would talk to you a little bit about the Ambassadors for Older Persons Month. And firstly, I should also just highlight that older persons in Cayman Islands are age 65 years and older, and that is per the Cayman Islands Older Persons Act of 2017. An older person is defined as somebody age 65 years and older. So the ambassadors this year, we have three of them, two from Grand Cayman and one from the Sister Islands. And these persons are chosen or awarded for their dedication, their recognition, and their contributions to other older persons in the country. So it's actually an award, and these persons were nominated publicly. And they were, these particular three were chosen for their particular service to older persons. So Grand Cayman, we have Miss Alice Jackson from West Bay. I don't know if you all are familiar with her, or maybe the audience, radio audience might know Miss Alice quite well. And then we have Mr. Rennie Renford Barnes. He's from Georgetown. I think a lot of people know him as well. He drives the school bus for the high schools. And also in Cayman BRAC, we have Miss Margarita Bodden. So these are our three ambassadors. There, we had a radio show on Monday of this week where we had the older person ambassadors there. They were talking a lot about what it meant for them to be chosen as ambassadors for the month, and as well what they're seeing as some of the social issues and needs that need to be addressed coming from the older person perspective. So we look forward to, you know, having them or hearing from them more for the rest of the month. They'll be at some of our activities, but we want to be able to offer them again more opportunities for their voices to be heard because they are representing then the older persons of the country.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's incredible to hear just how dynamic this program is for the month. You know, I think it's incredible that you've got not only social activities, which are very important, but also more educational and hands-on workshops and lectures. And I think it's, you know, an important part that you mentioned is this caregiver training, because I was even thinking about, you know, some family members that I have that could benefit from that training, or, you know, how maybe we wished we could have done that training a few years ago. So I think that's a really valuable portion to offer as well. Of course, you know, the social is great, but to have those five different areas, like you recognize, to make sure that you are really making this month and these activities as, you know, holistic and inclusive as possible. So thank you so much. So this sounds like there's plenty on the calendar for the month. So for anyone listening in, where can they find some more information about how to get involved with these events?
Sure. The calendar is going to be on the Department of Children and Family Services Facebook page, and also the government Facebook page. If persons actually want a copy delivered to them, we have been taking them out into the community. We have community development officers who are employed by DCFS, so we get them out within the community. Persons can call into our office, 949-0290. Cayman Brac office is 948-2331. I should also note that these activities, space is limited.
Right.
For some of them. So, and transportation is being provided for some of them as well. So we really would like persons to call and register ahead of time so that we can make sure that we have appropriate spacing for them and we can provide the transportation. Can I go ahead and provide the numbers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So for Bodentown District, the number is 926-5569, and these are all the community development officers, the numbers for them. So Ms. Sophia Walker, 926-5569. East End, Delmira Bodden, 925-5543. Northside, Loy Kellyman, 928-1863. Georgetown, Dorlin Welcome, 925-4083. West Bay, Vanda Powery, 916-7902. And Cayman Brac, Julianne Scott, 925-9872. If persons don't remember all of those numbers, then just call into our main office, 949-0290, or Cayman Brac, 948-2331. All these numbers are on the calendar, so if you get a copy of the calendar, you have the information to contact persons. Can I just also mention one last event? We're partnering with the UCCI for a lecture, which I hope will draw a lot of persons. So our theme is moving towards age-friendly communities, but the international theme for the International Day of Older Persons was resilience and contributions of older persons. We have decided to offer a lecture on resilience and contributions of older women, and that is being presented by one of the professors at UCCI on 18th of October. It's after work, 5:30 to 7. This event is not only for older persons, but we hope that it will be something educational, something that, you know, persons can draw on the history of the contributions of older persons, older women in the Cayman Islands. So persons can just come to that activity, UCCI Hall, on the 18th of October at 5:30 p.m.
Excellent. Thank you once again, Cassandra. And I look forward to hopefully joining you at some of those activities. Definitely the lecture on October 18th sounds right up my alley, so I appreciate you sharing that information as well. So best of luck with your busy program for the rest of the month, and thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time to be here.
We're going
to
take a quick break for ads, and then we'll be back with Marco Calleja from EY to talk about the EY Seniors Program at the National Gallery.
Join our membership program and be in the know. By signing up as a National Gallery member, you'll help fund free education and outreach programs, exhibitions, and free admission, ensuring that everyone in our community has access to the arts. Make a difference in your community by becoming a member and enjoy our members-only benefits, including special events, discounts, and more. Sign up online at nationalgallery.org.ky/memberships. Looking for a unique gift? The National Gallery's gift shop has a wide variety of locally made jewelry and fine crafts, art prints, books, kids' items, and more. Express your creativity through our inspired selection of fine goods and one-of-a-kind pieces. Each purchase from the gift shop helps to support the National Gallery's public programs and free admission. The gift shop is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Welcome back to Art Beat with the National Gallery of the Cayman Islands. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about October Older Persons Month in Cayman, and we've just had a conversation with Cassandra Farron from the Department of Children and Family Services. If you are interested in attending any of their Older Persons Month events, you can contact them at 949-0290 or at their Cayman Brac office at 948-2331. Joining us in the studio now is Marco Calleja, Partner of Financial Services at EY, to talk about the National Gallery's EY Seniors Program. Part of our mission at the gallery is to provide inclusive programming for everyone in the community to ensure broad access to the arts. And one program that's been running for several years is our Seniors Program, which is generously supported by EY. For anyone who isn't familiar, the National Gallery offers bi-monthly guided tours of the gallery for seniors, followed by tea, sandwiches, and sweet treats in one of our exhibition spaces, all at no cost. We also host sessions twice annually in Cayman Brac and annually in Little Cayman. The program was developed with the aim of addressing isolation in seniors' communities. And within the context of art and local culture, the program brings participants together to encourage lively discussions and create a sense of common understanding and community. These meetings focus on and center around artwork and the gallery's temporary exhibition schedule, with discussions about local culture and history and many other things in between. Throughout the pandemic, there's been an increased attention on protecting and supporting seniors who, of course, are particularly at risk. But I think often we fail to appreciate how daily isolation and anxiety can be a challenge for elders in our community, even within daily lives before the onset of the pandemic. Marco, first of all, thank you again for being such a longstanding supporter of this program. What prompted EY to make this sponsorship commitment?
Thank you very much, and great to be here. Look, what prompted EY is, a number of things. I mean, as an organization, we're very focused on giving back to the community and, you know, really enjoy, the sense of satisfaction. I think our people are looking forward to, a sense of purpose, a purpose of coming to work. It needs to be beyond, providing the services that we provide as a firm. It's also kind of the purpose within the community. And so I think part of it is around, addressing the sense of purpose for our people. We talk a lot about diversity and inclusiveness within the workplace. But as we talked about, earlier today, just the importance of having that social inclusion and the seniors within our community and older persons, being included, and having that social inclusion within society. So I think, the current Older Persons Month theme is very fitting of moving towards age-friendly communities. And that's been, a part of our focus is we look at the number of programs and corporate sponsorship that exists within the community, and there wasn't a corporate sponsorship for, a program that was focused on seniors and the older persons within our community.
Wonderful. And you and your team are very hands-on, I think, and which is awesome. It's really fantastic. So not only do you help to organize some of the events, but you and your staff also volunteer your time to socialize and serve tea and offer tour support on the day of. From your experience, having been there a number of times yourself, what's it been like to interact with seniors at these events? And why do you think it's been really important for your team to actually get out there on the day of and participate?
Me personally, and I'll probably speak on behalf of the team, I try and attend as many of the events that we host. And, I always find it very, very interesting when the curator is walking through the current exhibition. And again, I think each exhibition at the gallery changes every quarter. So when we look at the number of events that take place throughout the year, it is refreshed, right? So if you've attended one event, the next event will be different. And it's hearing the stories from, some of the elders within our community, and this, the elder persons, reminiscing about changes that are taking place within the Cayman fabric, whether or not it's a, it's a particular property or an environment. I recall, a story where we were looking at an artwork about a particular property that was in South Sound, and one of the participants said, I know that property. We used to live just down the road from there, and, it didn't used to look like that. Let me tell you how it used to look, and let me tell you who used to live there, and, just hearing the stories, about that particular property. And this was, a property that we would always walk by. We'd take the kids and walk the dog by it, and, it's passing that fabric, down, and those stories down to the current generation. But in her telling that story, what you realize is just the impact that this program is having. It's encouraging that social interaction. It's assisting with memory recall, and there's a lot of studies around the benefits of that social interaction. And even if it's just brightening a mood or just promoting that emotional and psychological health and well-being, so there's a sense of satisfaction that of people coming together. You may or may not have an interest in arts per se, but I think it's that kind of coming together in the community.
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting things for me about storytelling in the gallery space at these seniors events has been not just sort of conversations around seniors' memory of what Cayman was like, or telling stories about their childhood, but also listening to how they're continuing to innovate. For example, when we did our exhibition, The People's Collection, we had a section sort of looking at heritage crafts, but that had been sort of contemporized in new and interesting ways. So artists who were making sort of new flower baskets or using different materials with thatch or with crochet or with rag rugging or whatever it is. And, you know, they'll come in and they'll look at something and they'll say, oh, well, I've been doing that too, but I've been doing it in this new, interesting way. So not just thinking about heritage, but also thinking about how, as Cassandra said earlier, seniors continue to be such an integral part of our community and continue to innovate and come up with new, interesting, creative ideas.
Yeah, and I think, for our people, it is about that connection, right? And we can be easily caught up kind of in our day-to-day working with a lot of, you know, younger people. And, for those of us that, have family, you know, here in Cayman and have, you know, elder people within their family, there's this, you know, sense of connection. For others, they miss that, you know, that nexus, right, and that opportunity to interact with our older person. So for our people, it's more about kind of the purpose, the satisfaction of just interacting with another segment of our society that they typically wouldn't interact with.
Yeah, that intergenerational aspect of it is so important, right? Because, of course, the program, you know, we really hope that seniors can come together and socialize amongst themselves, but it's also really important for us, you know, as staff of the gallery or as volunteers from EY, you know, we're able to really gain so much from this experience as well. And I'm certain that with all of the Older Persons Month calendar events that are coming up, there'll be plenty of opportunities for younger people to interact with elders and vice versa. Our current exhibition, All the Coals We Left in the Fire, is a really great one for these events. I think it's been prompting a lot of really interesting conversations around heritage and around childhood stories and around continuing innovation, et cetera. It's been really, really well received at the last couple of seniors events. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the recent events. We had one in February, I believe. I think it was February of last year. And it was a couple of days before Valentine's Day. We had the group from West Bay come out. And one of the gentlemen brought a guitar with him. And they were sitting in the exhibition hall and he was playing guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so much fun. And it just really brought, like, this amazing vibrancy. And he would start a song and then everybody would kind of chime in and start singing. And it was like this choir just sort of formed in the exhibition hall. And to be surrounded by art and music was just really special. And because it was Valentine's Day, one of the other gentlemen had brought flowers for everyone. He was handing out roses. And it was just such a lovely atmosphere, I think.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. And I remember at the Alchemy Show, Horacio Esteban's solo exhibition, again, there was so much, you know, just fun and kind of quippy conversation around how he was using these natural materials and people talking about how, you know, their parents maybe used mahogany or ironwood or cedar wood in house building or in craft building. So we really get a lot of interesting, vibrant energy at these events.
I think in August as well, we had the event at the BRAC. There was the exhibition there with respect to the highlights from National Collection. There's about 30 people there. And, you know, again, it was, you know, broader than just, you know, reviewing the artwork. There was table memory games that, you know, that were played with the seniors. And as always, you know, we have cake and tea and sandwiches at the events.
Yeah, that was a really nice one. I went over for that one in August. And it was, you know, of course, you go through the exhibition. We've got our exhibition space there at the Cayman Brac Beach Resort. So we had just opened up this new Highlights from the Collection show. So we got a big group touring that. And then afterwards, like Marco said, there was memory games. A gentleman got up and recited a poem that he remembered from school. So he hadn't thought about this particular poem in years, but something kind of sparked in him to look up this poem and recite it. And plenty of other people in the room, you know, were familiar with that same poem from their days at school as well. And, you know, sharing advice about what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten, what's the worst piece of advice you've ever gotten. So it's a nice opportunity for reminiscing and reflection. And just even from my perspective, being in the room and getting to hear them, you know, share their experiences. It's a really nice, like we say, intergenerational opportunity, not only for the seniors, but for our team members and for the volunteers as well.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think, you know, the events are really just about creating connection, no matter who you're talking to and who you're with, whether it's, you know, seniors talking with other seniors or seniors talking with younger persons. It's all about just having a good time together, really. If you are an elder in our community or know someone who would like to attend the National Gallery Seniors Tour and Tea events, please reach out to us at education@nationalgallery.org.ky or give us a call at 945-8111. Thank you so much, Marco, for joining us to talk about the EY Seniors program at the National Gallery. We appreciate your support so much.
Pleasure to be here.
If you are an elder in our community or if you know someone who would like to attend the National Gallery Seniors Tour and Tea events, please reach out to us at education@nationalgallery.org.ky or call us at 945-8111. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Art Beat. You can catch us on the next episode Saturday at 10 o'clock on Bobo 89.1 FM. And until then, visit us at the National Gallery on the Esterly-Tibbetts Highway, where admission is always free.
After these messages, a panel discussion with two Caymanian elders, Ms. McKenna Anderson and Ms. Nettie Bush, moderated by Ms. Arthelyn Pedley, as part of the exhibition program for 2020's Island of Women. Ms. McKenna and Ms. Nettie share stories of their childhood, their marriages to seafarers, and the contributions of Caymanian women to society at large. Stay tuned.
School and community youth groups receive free guided tours of the National Gallery. Our education team works with you to design curricular tours that supplement your classroom syllabus. Contact us at program@nationalgallery.org.ky or call us at 345-945-8111 to book your tour today.
Join our membership program and be in the know. By signing up as a National Gallery member, you'll help fund free education and outreach programs, exhibitions, and free admission, ensuring that everyone in our community has access to the arts. Make a difference in your community by becoming a member and enjoy our members-only benefits, including special events, discounts, and more. Sign up online at nationalgallery.org.ky/memberships.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us on ArtBeat, today's show is a celebration of October Older Persons Month. And next up is a conversation with two Caymanian elders, Ms. McKenna Anderson and Ms. Nettie Bush, moderated by Ms. Arthelyn Pedley as part of the gallery's exhibition program for Island of Women. We begin with a poem by Nasaria Sakou-Shalet. Enjoy.
This poem speaks of the symbiotic relationship between Caymanian women and the sea. All the sea gave, all it took. And reminds us that there were pioneering women who took to the seas themselves and conquered her just as our men did. The ladies in blue. First, like flies drunk off fermented mango, wish you feminize that sea, that dark to light to dark blue, never-ending vastness, that ever-changing liquid mass of gently swaying comfort or violently undulating wave. And you vow to conquer her like pilgrims drawn to worship on frothy shores. Captured by her twinkling in the twilight, just before the sun yawns and stretches her sleepy rays, and challenged by her tilting, angered assault, you call her her and dub her she. And yet, as you write of her in odes and sing of her in strolling seashore songs and speak of her crystalline limitlessness in whispered wonder, that very she you compare her to, you forget. You forget as if our tears as we wailed on rocky bays for love she did not return didn't contribute to that intoxicating lady in blue. You forget as if in your absence, father, husband, man, we, her original she, didn't woman that cat-rigged single mass sea vessel out into the deep, three by three to hook, to hitch, to harvest bounty from her abundance to feed our future. You forget, as if we didn't go up that mountain, our weighty bodies as ballasts. You forget. You forget as if those smooth hands like those of Lady Valma, inspired by Daniel's terror, didn't cut that curvy plop nut branch and run across it with that eyes and rid that fiddle wood so we too could fly across your sheet. On salty breeze, chasing our Serrano Key dreams to fill our hulls with speckled seabird eggs. You forget. You forget as if I, with my heart, my sweat, my doing without and making do, didn't bankroll your travels with her across she. You forget. But time, she and stories and songs and dance and poems, she'll remember. Time will speak of the her, that she, that inspired your devotion to the sea. And then you will remember. Oh, I wish I were a seabird. I'd fly away from here. Then you'll remember. Saria, thank you for that beautiful poem. It really has set the set the tone for this opportunity to hear stories from these ladies. I'd also just like to add my voice to what Maya has said and to say welcome. The panel discussion is entitled Married to the Sea, Voices of Seafarers' Spouses. And this evening we have two ladies. The husbands of these ladies worked in various positions on ships, on board ships, and they sailed around the world during the 20th century. We're going to hear their personal stories tonight about what life was like here on the island, but also as they joined their husbands at sea on a few occasions. The thing that struck me most as I've spoken to them over the last few evenings is how incredibly brave, strong, daring, and industrious these women are and were. Of course, we know this about our Caymanian women, and Nasari and I were just talking about how, you know, folk who were, you know, in their 80s now, or in 70s and 80s, they were unafraid to go out there and, you know, travel the world, get on steamships and go to Jamaica and to other ports in Europe and so on, to even before their husbands were doing it, some of them. So first of all, I think I'll start with you, McKenna, because Miss Manny doesn't want to start her. So McKenna, please just give me your name and age and tell me where you were born.
Miller. I was born in Georgetown. I'm from North Side. I'm one of the Millers from North Side. I guess people sort of about them because of the nation I was. I lived in North Side until I was 7. And then my father, believing that you should have the best education, he sent me to town at 7 to go to Triple C with my aunt. And then when prep school opened, he transferred me because he was an elder of the church.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay.
And I went there until I was 14. And he said to Edna was 9, my sister Edna Moore, and Rosemary was, Edna was 8 and Rosemary was 9, they were an aunt and a niece. He said, no, you girls got to go to Jamaica to school because the world don't stop on the captain in a tree. I guess that was the way he did. And he sent us off to Jamaica on the Caymania. Mm-hmm. I was 14 with two little girls to take care of. I tell people I grew up then.
Okay. Well, can I just ask you a little bit about what you recall about the North Side seafarers? Because I know you said you were there quite young, and you have a story to tell. Your father was a shipwright, am I right?
He was so, 17 stories, and saw them when they were at the post in Panama.
Right. And so I want to know some of your earliest memories of being the child of a man who was a shipwright.
Oh, they were wonderful.
And tell us just a little bit about that, because I think it's important to know your connection to the sea.
Yeah, my father, he worked on the Panama Canal, and when that was over, he came home and he built his last schooner. He had built 17 before. He named them after his oldest children. And I was 12 when he launched it, so he allowed me to christen it. And he then went to building houses. And that was after, well, I was still living in town, because I was just about, I was 10. And then I went away at 14. So the only minute my family that went to sea, because all my uncles went to Panama and Nicaragua, was my brothers. And they were pretty young when they went to sea.
So you then headed off to Jamaica, and you did your final schooling there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And was that where you met the man that you eventually
married? No, I was out of school for about 2 years.
Okay.
And
in Jamaica.
In Jamaica, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he married me at 18.
Okay.
And we had 3 babies, and then we were pregnant with the 4th one. And my father was sick, and we went to care him. So being the daughter that loves her father so much, her loved her father so much, I decided we're going home. Oh, my God, the biggest regret. The mosquitoes were thick. There was no electricity. There was no helper, which I had all the time out in Jamaica. And he couldn't get a job.
Okay.
So my father said to him, you'll have to go to sea, my son. He didn't know anything about sea. He couldn't swim, I don't believe. Father went home to Burton, he got a job, he went to sea. And he became an engineer.
So that was Mr. Bernie Panton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he went to sea, having never thought about being a
seaman. But he had both, because he had 4 children.
And he was now a Cayman, and he was following the pattern of what Cayman men did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So off he went to sea. Okay.
And he he'd bet for every year and come back, and then after 2 years or three years, we had another baby. And then he bet again, and after 2 years, we had another one. Then he became an engineer. Then, of course, the children is growing up. I went to the ship and he hit port in the Caribbean. He used to be on a uniform sentence the day.
And what position did he hold?
Engineer.
He was an engineer. Mm-hmm. So he must have picked up everything pretty quickly.
Yeah, he was pretty smart there. The Japanese was pretty smart there.
All right. So he basically took all those exams as he went along and whatnot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you met him, as you said, in some of the ports.
Yeah, I went down to three ports when he came down to the Caribbean. And he did not go anywhere near till the chief engineer was in the office and calling for the captain, telling me I had a package for him. And there I was. And I did that about four times. So. Yes. But I went down to the South Riding Point, and I had to go to sea to get the boat. Oh, God, that was stairs, and you know, you had a jump. And when I got there, the men were waiting upstairs. They put down the stairs, the big one. And then they were waiting, and I thought, I hope this is the right ship. And then I got to the engine room, he said, just saw you sitting there. That was New York, in the Hudson River, one time, there for a week, stuck. And okay. I went to Trinidad for 2 weeks, one time.
Okay, so you were in the Bahamas, Trinidad, New York. Mm-hmm. Those are the three main ports that you went to.
Yeah, because I didn't leave my children to go to sea.
And it was because you were the mother of seven or five or six at that time. Yeah. And whatnot. So he was an engineer, mm-hmm. and sailed on some of the very large ships.
Yeah, he sailed on some of the older ships first going off, and then he started sailing on the universe ships.
Right. And did those ships go pretty much all over the world?
No, one time he was running from Ireland to the Gulf, took a month, and another time he was running from the Gulf to somewhere else. I think that's when the ship came to Trinidad.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right. And typically, how long were you all separated?
1 year first going off, okay. Oh my God. Yeah. And then it went to 9 months, and then it went to 6 months. Yes. And then I got a job managing a condo, and then he came home and said, right here, you're not going back.
Okay.
After 25 years, though, you know, it wasn't easy.
He went
to sleep for a living for 25 years, and I had those children to send to school, to college, you name it.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a little bit. I wanted to know, most of the children were born then when he was at sea, so you went through
there. We had three in Jamaica, and I was pregnant with Olson, so I had half of him Jamaican, half here.
Okay.
And then there were the three little ones.
But he missed the birth of the last three.
No, in the last one he was here for his birth, he came home to start building a house, and he took a year off.
So comparing that experience of giving birth to the ones when he was away, was it quite hard for you here in Canada?
I guess I was used to everything.
Yeah,
but
you were familiar with mom.
Yeah.
Being a mom. And
being a mom, yeah.
Dealing with newborn kids and so on. So that wasn't a big issue for you. Ms. Nettie, you think we can start hearing a little bit of your story now?
Oh, yeah.
Nettie Bush, her story is a little bit different, and I'm going to start off by asking her the same, what is your age, please?
77.
And where were you born?
Where I was born?
Yes, ma'am.
I was born in Honduras.
Right.
On the Bay Islands of Honduras.
Right.
And I was born over the sea. My house was on stilts.
Okay. And in Honduras, we'll stay there for the minute. Did you have any connection to boats and ships and the ocean starting off there? Were you familiar?
Well, my father left us a boat. And I used to be like a tomboy.
Right.
I would get in the boat, go in the bushes, get the pineapples, stop on my way, do a little fishing, dive some conchs, and get ready to go to school.
Did any of your family members in Honduras go off to sea? Were they people who built ships or anything like that?
My father went to sea, and he worked in World War II.
Okay.
And I never seen him until I was 11 years old. He didn't come back.
Okay.
But he didn't die out there. He just didn't come back.
But you still enjoyed living near the ocean and all the good things that the ocean brought to you as a little girl.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So my living was on the ocean from time I born.
So tell me that.
I'll tell you one thing. we was born in a, I was born in a small, small little house. And a ship was crossing. And she ran aground, and she was full of lumber. And my mother and many other mothers swam out and brought the lumber back, and we got a bigger house through the ship going aground.
That was the story of people that came out many years ago. Yes, that's correct. There are homes in South Zone that I'm aware of. I haven't kept up with it, but years ago in the early 90s, I was doing memory bank work. And as I interviewed some of the older citizens, they would point out furniture and items in their home, and they would say, you know, that came from this shipwreck, or that piece came from another shipwreck.
You
must have
remembered
that
ship that
dropped down in Georgetown. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember that. I'm aware of it. Yeah. And I know that some people got... So, Ms. Nettie, sticking with your story, what brought you to Cayman, and at what age did you come to live in Cayman?
A lady by the name of Leela Yates. Okay. She used to be a midwife. And she came to Honduras with some of her family and was asking if they could find somebody that would work with her. And she came and saw me, and I came and worked with her. And I was 16 years old. I came up on a boat, and the boat was named Miss Judy. And I got seasick because I was used to paddling a boat. So I was in a big boat now, and I couldn't, you know. But eventually, when I saw Cayman, I said from the beginning, that's where I'm going to live. I liked it from the start. I traveled all over the world, but Cayman is my home.
So that was 16 years old, and you came. Now, I'm just curious, why did people recommend you to Miss Leela? What? How did they know of your interest in midwifery?
I wasn't interested in it. She just asked me if I would come and help her,
okay.
And I certainly did help her. If the things that I had to do, oh my God.
Yeah, you can imagine. Yeah, right. But you didn't stick with the midwifery field, though. You didn't
work with her. I worked with her, and I saw several children born. They called me grandmother now. And
right.
I had to go on the beach, get the fish, come back, make the dinner for the patient, help bathe the babies, stay up in the night when the baby's crying, get up next morning and do your breakfast and do your chores. That was the work that I had to do for her.
And that was how she needed your support. Most of you, well, the Caymanians in the crowd here, might know about Nurse Leela. And those of you connected with the trust might also recognize the name because they own her home in West Bay, and it's one of the properties they're trying to eventually interpret and once it's fully restored and so on. But Nurse Leela didn't just go and do home visits. She also had a room. Was it one or two rooms in her house?
Two.
And so many women who couldn't have her in her home for whatever reason, mostly because of space and other children and all that, they'd go to her home, and then this is where Miss Nettie's role probably came in. She was looking for support there in the home. And you didn't work there too long, and then you went out to work for a family.
I stayed with Miss Leela, I think it was like 2 years and a half.
Okay.
And then she said she was going to give up.
Being a midwife.
Doing the nursery.
And you then worked for this family in West Bay for a few years.
17 years.
Yes, but then you met a young Caymanian.
I met Cecil. I was going to Church of God. Now, Cecil named Cecil Bush. Going to Church of God, and the breeze was blowing hard, and my poor little dress was blowing up. And this man coming on the bicycle, and he keeps saying, "Your dress is blowing up." And I got to church, and he peeped in through the window. I sat down in church. They waited outside, got back, right up. And when he said, "I like you," I said, "But I don't like you." So Gloria said to me, "Everybody is outside now." I said, "He said he named Cecil. Captain Alice said, keep away from him." couldn't keep away from him. Anyway, it ended up that I was engaged to him for 7 years.
Wow. So this is part of the interesting story, because Cecil, when you met him, was a seaman. He was already going to sea. And Nettie was trying to get herself established here in Cayman, and very hardworking. I think she'd earned herself a reputation for being a very hardworking woman, very dependable. So tell me, you know, a little bit about what made, you know, when you decided to get married, and you got married in Jamaica.
I got married in Jamaica in 1966.
Right.
And at that time, I was still staying in Gloria. And, well, we came back home. But why we got married in Jamaica is because the year before that, Cecil had gotten a car accident, which the 7 years came up that I waited every time I went to get married for a car accident. So we got married. And then he had a sick arm that he couldn't work on the ships. And Captain Shelby made him come to work on the Cork freighter to get his hand.
While his hand was being rehabilitated.
Back again.
Yeah.
And after his hand got better, Miss Gwen called him. Gwen Bush from South Sound.
Everybody knows the connection. Yes. The house, yeah, she was the one who really handled, she was a shipping agent who was responsible for assigning the men to different ships.
And then
on their calls.
Yeah. He went to sea, and his ship was named the Old Saturn that he went on first. And he was sending me at that time $120 a month. But you see, by me staying with Gloria, I could do work for Gloria, and I didn't have to do no pilot cooking and, you know, this kind of buy it. In other words, I live off of Gloria to work.
Right.
So then he came home after 1 year. And we decided then we were going to make our little house.
Right.
So Mr. Boy had one little piece of land. And I didn't have enough money for the 120. So I sold my property in Honduras because I didn't plan to go back there. We started the house. We started the little market. Them days it was no planning. You could build from here east end without planning. So he went away again and I planned the house and I went on the beach about the sun, about the gravels. And Miss Rita Dilbert's husband had an old truck. And one day she came down and she saw all what I was doing. And she said, Lawrence, why you don't give that poor Honduras your after their gravels? And from then, he was backing gravels for me till I got my house up to the Belton. And I draw the water in the grass, these down Miss Lee, Miss
Leah.
Leah. Down whale on there. And I had gasoline drums to put water in. So when the guys come in the morning, go in the evening, they were empty, and when they come back, they would be full because I bark it every night. And my house is made with concrete, it's no stud walls.
Exactly.
It's concrete. All concrete right through.
Right.
And I didn't have no ceiling. I didn't have no legs. I didn't have no running water. But one man by the name of, what Henry brother was name again that called on?
Walter.
Walter dig me a pipe well. And that's where I used to get my water. With 2 pudding pans, make believe you go see. And then he went back to see again. Now, any other question you want?
I'm curious to know, you like Miss McKenna, also joined your husband at sea, and you went to some interesting ports.
Well, at that time, Cecil couldn't get me on the ship till he got his
first mate.
Right.
He became an
third mate, second mate, chief mate,
yeah.
So, anybody that had their license, they could bring their wives. So, I went to join him on the ship. I think it was Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. That's what you mentioned.
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And from Philadelphia, we went to Venezuela.
So you also told me that you went to Nigeria?
Yes, I went to Nigeria on a ship. And she was 185,000 tons. I was there. The landmark for going to South Africa, the whole of the beach is nothing but flares of fire. That's how they're burning their oil off, so they have so much oil. And we was anchored 3 weeks getting crude oil to go back for 3 weeks. It was getting really boring. I was sick of seeing fire. And there's no way to go. So I decided to go down in the engine room and dig up in their boxes where they used to have to clean the engines, and took out coats and pants and everything that were good. And the little boats used to come around selling fish and shrimps. And I would exchange their clothes and stuff.
And you also did Panama Canal?
Oh, yeah. I went through the Panama Canal. That's one of the wonders of the world. They carry you down, and they bring you out. And they carry you down. For one whole day, you're down.
Now, bringing up, I'm talking to you now, you have your family, health care, and so on. Most do. By the time your kids came along, were the hospitals in?
Yeah, the hospital, Georgetown. Mm-hmm.
But were you all still relying a lot on home remedies and things of that nature?
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had to.
Right.
We had a district nurse, Miss Jessie, which was her name, and she would come by once a month or once a week and look at everybody and give them little medicine.
Right. Mm-hmm. They closed and things like that. The shops didn't have a whole lot.
Yeah, I paid a woman to make mine after I came here.
Okay.
But you know the hardest part of coming to Cayman to live was that doggone washboard. The first day I washed my hands with those there, and I never forget this.
Oh,
and no electric lights and the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
You didn't kill the mosquitoes, you just rubbed them off your hand.
Yeah. It's amazing, really, to think how far we have come.
You said that again.
Yeah, and I wondered whether, in looking back at your life, you wanted to just summarize a little bit how you feel about what you accomplished in your years from being a seaman's wife to now.
I mean, raised my seven children, and they're all independent.
Right.
And taking care of themselves.
Right.
And that made my life. I put my life in my children. And I got a home, I got property, and one of them has a farm now. We sell eggs.
Okay.
A chicken farm on my property.
Right.
But I'm happy with the way my life ran. Even I was young and I had to take that responsibility of the world.
And I think when you talk to older Caymanians about those days when it was so hard, nobody was really thinking about it as hard. You just got on with it. Do you have any advice to give to the younger generation about how to live life in such a way as to be able to not look back with regrets when you get to be the age you are?
Oh, darn, I would better work hard.
Okay, work hard.
That's the answer. Stop putting your money where you can't put it. If you need sugar, don't buy salt.
Thanks, Ms. Nanny. Okay, we really enjoyed your story, and thank you so much for sharing with us.